Hello, friends. It's time once again for Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. We've got so much to talk about, so much to pray about, so much to testify about. Praise God. God is moving by His Holy Spirit, and we just pray today that His Holy Spirit will move right where you are, right in your heart, and right in your life. We are living in the last of the last days. We are living in the perilous times that the Bible spoke of that would mark the last days. But we are living in times of great opportunity to be serviceable unto our Lord. You know, the Bible said in a great house there are many vessels, some to honor and some to dishonor. Amen. There are vessels of wood and vessels of gold and silver, and there are vessels of clay. And if we would come out and be separate unto God, amen, we would flee youthful lust. The Bible said we would become vessels of honor, meet for the Master's use. We have an outline of how God moves in this particular way in our services, that whoever God calls to salvation, He cleanses, and whoever He cleanses, He uses. Hallelujah. So if God's Word is coming and having a sanctifying effect in your life, amen, He is preparing to use you. You don't have to stand in a pulpit to be used of God. You don't have to be a graduate of a Bible college to be used of God. Every Christian is a potential soldier of the cross for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So we want to encourage you as we instruct you today from the Word of God. And one of the great things that every Christian qualifies to do is to pray for the lost. And we're going to talk about praying for the lost, interceding for the unsaved, a message that the devil wishes we would not teach and preach. Therefore, we are going to be very aggressive in our teaching of this great truth, because prayer from those people who God has qualified to pray, amen, can plunder hell and populate heaven. Praise God. I am one of those people that is in the kingdom of God, that got saved, not because my dad was a Christian, but because my dad, as a Christian, knew how to pray for me. Hallelujah. Well, let's turn to 1 Timothy and begin this second edition of the study, interceding for the unsaved, praying for the lost. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 through 4, Paul said, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all that are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. When we pray for people that are lost, we are praying in the distinct, direct will of God. Last week we talked about the fact that the lost are loved by God, and that the lost have been blinded by Satan. Amen. But today we're going to talk about the fact that the lost are not only blinded by the enemy, but they are bound by him. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 17 through 19, it is very, very clear that Satan has a prison house where he holds men and women, not only in spiritual blindness, but in spiritual bondage. Ephesians 4, 17 through 19, listen carefully today. We need to be able to pray in such authority in the name of Jesus Christ, that these chains that hold people in prisons of darkness and habits and behaviors that they in and of themselves, not only they can't break, But in many occasions, they simply do not want to break them. But God can set not only the captive free in their mind, but that captive heart that has been darkened by the enemy, that heart of darkness and that heart of stubbornness and that heart of idolatry and blasphemy and disobedience, that heart can be changed. As it is written, the Bible said that He would take away the heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. Long before the first heart transplant occurred medically in South Africa, I believe it was, where it occurred. Amen. God, through the cross of Christ and the Christ of the cross, has been transplanting hearts ever since Jesus paid the price for our sin. Men and women, boys and girls can be changed today, and the change occurs from the inside out. Hallelujah. The heart changes, the mind changes, and the life changes. Glory to God. And then the destiny of where our soul spends eternity changes as well. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." We talked about the blindness of the mind last week. Today we're talking about the blindness of their heart, "who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." The battle for the soul begins with the battle for the mind. Listen carefully. Whoever controls the mind controls the soul. Whoever controls the soul controls the will. And whoever controls the will ultimately control the destiny. The lost are bound by the devil, but the lost can be set free. They're blinded, they're bound, but they can be set free. Though the lost are bound and blind, they can be set free. That is the good news that we are publishing here today. Amen. 2 Corinthians 10. This is an important spiritual warfare scripture. Listen to it very carefully. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Listen, before we go any further, when we stop right here, we do not really zoom in on the place where these strongholds are because of the enemy's spiritual blindness and blindness of heart. We kind of think of this initially when you read just that verse alone as spiritual forces over cities and over countries and bringing down strongholds somewhere in the heavenlies. This is more specific in this particular portion of Scripture on the subject of praying for the lost and how we're to pray for them and what we are to expect as a result of our prayers. Listen to this again as we put this all in context. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." If we stop right here, what will occur is what occurred some years ago in Miami. There was a great crusade. The leader of that crusade, and I believe with the best of intentions, quoting this verse of Scripture, said, "Let's come together and let's bind the spirit that is influencing Miami, this place where there's so much crime, so much drug traffic, so much unrest, so much murder, that this beautiful city and these beautiful beaches that have this underbelly of such evil and wickedness, that be broken and this become a city of light instead of..." And that is all good. There's nothing wrong with praying over cities. But the city, after the crusades, after the binding, after the loosing, after all of these things, remains that city that is still plagued by all of these things. The great revival did not occur in Miami, Florida, because this is not just talking about a spirit over a city. but the spirit that blinds and binds every person who is not a Christian. And the Bible said, as we previously taught, the God of this world has blinded the minds of men lest they would see the glory of the gospel and be saved. And when those blinders and scales fall off, amen, when God reveals to them the truth of the gospel by His Spirit, you see, I'm talking right now, I'm bringing Scripture to light, but only the Holy Spirit can take the Word of God and show it to someone who's listening to this broadcast. I'm convinced, because it's not God's will that any perish but all have eternal life, I'm convinced that someone is going to see the glory of the gospel and somebody is going to come to Jesus. Amen. Because I believe the Holy Spirit is working mightily and I am dependent on Him to do that work that is unique to Him and specific to Him. When He comes, the Bible said He will convince the world of sin and of unrighteousness and of judgment. Listen carefully. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Even when we preach the gospel without depending on the Holy Spirit, we're still depending on our flesh to do the Spirit's work. And we cannot do it with our best educated ministers, with our most eloquent speakers. We need and we must rely on the Holy Spirit. Remember when Jesus asked Peter, "Peter, who do men say that I am?" And Peter began to speculate and say all the things that he heard others saying. You might be Elijah, you might be this, you might be that. But then he said, "Peter, specifically, who do you say that I am?" He's not asking a theologian, someone who is part of the great Sanhedrin court. He's asking the simple fisherman, "Who do you say that I am?" And without skipping a beat, Peter blurted out a great truth: "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Hallelujah. And Peter said, "Yeah." And Jesus said to Peter, "Yes, that is true." And flesh and blood, carnal flesh and blood, did not reveal this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Listen very carefully. This is the work of the Spirit of God. We do the simple thing. We preach the gospel, but it is the Spirit of God that reveals the truth of it to the minds and hearts of men and women. Listen to this again. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Listen where the strongholds are in verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. In the hearts and minds of the lost, we are to pray and depend upon the Holy Spirit and stand in the authority of the shed blood of Christ that was shed for them and the name of Jesus who shed that blood. When we pray in the name of Jesus, we pray a prayer that Jesus would pray. We pray a prayer that we've been authorized to pray because the Lord has taught us how to pray. Hallelujah. Pulling down strongholds. Amen. What is a spiritual stronghold? Spiritual stronghold is any area of resistance against the working of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. A spiritual stronghold is any area of resistance against the working of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. Every stronghold begins in the mind and heart. And a stronghold reflects an attitude of pride against God. So listen to this carefully. We should claim the tearing down of all the works of Satan, such as false doctrine, unbelief, false teaching, and hatred, which the enemy may have built up in their thinking, and that their very thoughts shall be brought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. We have great authority to pray this way and to do this. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because of Jesus' finished work at the cross. You see, friend, today in the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can claim their deliverance from the power and persuasion of the evil one, and from the love of the world and the lust of the flesh. We should pray also for the quickening of their conscience, that God might grant them repentance and hearing ears and believing hearts as they hear or read the Word of God. And we pray that God's will and purposes be accomplished in and through them. We need to pray that all God has purchased, purposed, and provided through the cross might be realized in that life. And this mind that is blinded, this heart that is blind and bound, may be set free to see. You see, we're not going to force them, and God will not force, but He will cause the scales to fall from the eyes. He will cause them to have the knowledge of their lost condition, and simultaneously the knowledge of His love and His provision for their salvation through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Praise God! Paul the Apostle had a holy mandate to counteract the forces of darkness, to set blind and bound sinners free, so an opportunity to choose might be given them, in spite of the devil's wiles and the devil's power. Praise God. Amen. I want to read this from Acts 26, verse 17 through 19. It says, "Delivering thee," speaking of Paul, "to from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." I want you to listen to the purpose of Paul's ministry, his holy mandate from God. It is not to get enough people to build a bigger, better sanctuary or family worship center. Listen carefully. It's to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith which is in me. Paul said, this is my mandate, and this is exactly what I have purposed and proposed in my heart to do. This is what my preaching is all about and what it's to accomplish. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Praise God. Amen. As mighty and as imposing as Satan's forces are, they are no match for God's power to save and deliver. Praise God. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 bears this out. Listen to what it says. "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." Praise God. Amen. We used to sing, "What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve." Today there's a contemporary song that's been written, amen, that God is mighty to save. All the resources of heaven are ours when it is our purpose to see the blind I opened, the blind heart, amen, opened, the bound heart set free, and souls gloriously saved and ushered in to the kingdom of our God, who has the power to deliver us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His Son. Praise God. I'm so glad somebody prayed for me. And friend of mine, if you're saved today, you may not even know who it was. You may know exactly who it was. But somebody prayed for you. And through that prayer of intercession, the Holy Spirit, amen, moved in your behalf. Hallelujah. Praise God. And God opened your eyes. And God opened, amen, the prison house of the enemy so that you could walk out and be free. And God brought you into His glorious kingdom. God has the power and the love to save. Do we have the compassion and commitment to pray for the lost? I want to say that again. God has the love and the power to save. He's purposed it. He's provided it through Christ. Do we, as Christians, have the compassion, the same love and the commitment to pray for the lost? One intercessor states it this way. Intercession must be persistent, not to persuade God, for redemption is of God and from God, but because of the enemy. Our prayer and resistance are against the enemy, the awful powers and rulers of darkness. It is our duty before God to fight for the souls of those for whom Christ died. Just as some must preach to them the good news of their redemption, just so others must fight back the powers of darkness on their behalf. Satan yields only what and when he must, and he renews his attacks in subtle ways. Therefore, prayer must be definite, and it must be persisted in, even long after definite results are seen, and we must hold what is taken for God against the enemy until such time that that soul is firmly established in the faith. That is the words of a prayer warrior who understands spiritual warfare, who understands not only our authority as believers, but our responsibility. And when we recognize that we have been given spiritual armor to pray effectively, spiritual armor to pray effectively. Ephesians 6:10 is very clear. Amen. It said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places, and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God." Amen. Hallelujah. This is war. Make no mistake about it. There may be hesitancy in some political circles to use that term war because the world is war weary, and understand the politics of that. But when we come to dealing with the enemy, Satan, the destroyer of the souls of men, we must use that war word and not back off from it. We are at war for the souls of men and women, and we are at war with spiritual forces, but we are well equipped to win. Hallelujah. Amen. Take ye the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles, the strategies of deceit of the devil, having done all to stand. And the next verse, after enumerating the adversary and the armor, it says, and praying. You see, this armament is so that we can pray effectively, particularly in this area of interceding for those that Satan holds in bondage. Amen. For praying with all prayer and supplication for me and all men. We are to pray and intercede. Hallelujah. C.H. Spurgeon understood the power of prayer in relation to the anointed preaching. He was called the Prince of Preachers. And sometimes people marveled that his messages had such import and impact, particularly in how many people came to Christ in that great church that he pastored. And some people came to him, a group actually came to him, wanting to know, amen, why his sermons were so successful. And he answered simply, "My people pray for me. My people pray for me." He knew that prayerless preaching would not incorporate the power of the Holy Spirit, and he would be talking mind to mind and not heart to heart. Listen very carefully. Another time, a group came to talk to C.H. Spurgeon, and he asked them because he saw that they were befuddled. They all had preached great sermons and heard great sermons, but how was his sermons having such impact and theirs falling on seemingly deaf ears? And he said, do you want to see the power plant of my church? And they said, sure. They didn't know what this was about, how he was answering them by showing them some heating system in his church. And he took them downstairs. And downstairs on a Saturday night, over half of his congregation was present praying for the Sunday morning service and interceding. Spurgeon knew what is being taught to you and me today through the Word of God. He knew that we are at war with spiritual forces, that our intellect cannot conquer, only the Holy Spirit aiding and abetting us as we pray and going forth and causing blind eyes to open and bound hearts to go free. Oh, friend of mine, I believe there's a great army being put together, a great coalition of Christians around the world to pray specifically that those that are lost be saved, that the blind eyes be open. And I believe that the great last day in gathering of souls just before the coming of Jesus Christ, friend of mine, it's on. It is happening in this very day, in this very moment, at this very hour. Praise God. Oh, friend, God is calling you today. God is calling me today. There's no doubt about it. Amen. If you're hearing this broadcast right now, and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and your personal Savior, I have absolutely no doubt in my mind or my heart that God is speaking to you today. That you're understanding that you're one of those people for whom Christ died. You're one of those people that are lost today. If you died today, you can't say with any kind of assurance or confidence where your soul would spend eternity, or you may know that you are lost. You may know that heaven would not be your home, that you're not prepared to stand an account before a holy God. Your sins condemn you, convict you. Your enemy of your soul accuses you. But Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. It's not God's will that any perish, but that all would have eternal life. And this is what He offers you today, eternal life in the name and through the blood of Jesus Christ. Would you come to Him today? Would you ask Him into your heart and let Jesus become your Lord and your Savior? Would you come today just as you are, just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me? O Lamb of God, I come to Thee. O Lamb of God, I come. Today, if you're a Christian, God is calling you. I know He is. I'm equally convinced, for this great call, for this great army to rise up and pray like we have never prayed, and believe God like we've never believed God, to bring in the great last day harvest. Your loved ones, your friends, your neighbors, my friends, my neighbors, God is calling us today to pray and to intercede for them. Would you become part of God's great army today? Would you take time out of the busyness and responsibilities of your life to call upon the name of the Lord in behalf of those who don't know Him? If you prayed and failed to see result, pray again. Go and lay hold on the horns of the altar and believe God and see the mighty revival around the world and in your own neighborhood and city. God is moving. Well, our time is gone. We love you. We pray that you will come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.